Thank you so much. I'm really grateful to have the occasion to give this talk. Moreover, it seems, my task to introduce a theme that appeared little in the first 3 days of this conference. So this theme is that of p-adic analytic variation of automorphic forms. In fact, I was wondering if at this Ann Arbor conference this theme was at all present, and if somehow people could foresee at that time the things which happened maybe later. So let me just try to explain, just for usual elliptic modular forms, what the idea is. So what we'd like to study, and before this, I would have to fix maybe here P, let me assume that's larger than 2, a prime integer, let N be, let me just say it right now, as this will be the hypothesis later, an integer larger or equal to 4, and assume that P does not divide N. So what we'd like to study is we'd like to study congruences modulo powers of P. Between eigenforms of tame level n. So one can think about these either as congruences between the eigenvalues of the Hecke operators, or maybe congruences between the in case these eigenforms are normalized, in terms of the congruences between the Q expansions. And anyway, during the last years, there were a lot of applications of these congruences. Studying them seems to be an important fact. And this study started a long time ago with Sunnard and Dyer, and then maybe Serre and Katz, and finally Hida constructed p-adic families of ordinary modular forms maybe in 86, and then Coleman constructed more general p-adic families of finite slope forms maybe in 96. And then finally, this is the Coleman and Mazur they organized in a geometric way these congruences. In other words, so let me try to explain this just a little bit. So let us define the so-called weight space. Call it W. Let me put a Q here. So this is it's called the weight space, and it is a rigid analytic space over QP with the property that it's CP points can be seen as continuous homomorphisms from ZP star into CP star. In particular, one sees the integers, which are sort of classical, sort of classically are weights for modular forms, as sitting in this space by seeing an integer k as the character sending t to the k. So one can see that in fact there are many more weights, elements in this set. For example, instead of taking an integer, one can take a periodic integer, and something like this can be written. Moreover, all characters of finite order of ZP star are in there. So this is a large set. In fact, as a rigid analytic space is a disjoint union of p minus one open unit disks. So what Coleman and Mazur did, they constructed a rigid analytic curve over QP. Let's call it C, it depends on N and it depends on P, with a map, let's call it K, to the weight space. This curve is constructed in such a way that it parameterizes all periodic over convergent eigenforms of finite slope of tame level n. In fact, Coleman and Mazur just constructed this for n equals 1. And I think maybe Buzzard did this in more generality. The finite slope just means that if F is such an overconvergent eigenform, then its image under the UP operator is not zero. And this map sends a point which corresponds to an overconvergent eigenform to its weight. And so we see that, in fact, these overconvergent eigenforms will have all kinds of weights, periodic weights. And one of the goals of this talk is to somehow explain this in a slightly more general setting. So let me, let me write it down here. The goal of this talk is to present some joint work with Fabrizio Andreatta, Vincent Piloni, and Glenn Stevens, in which we construct the cuspidal eigenvariety for Hilbert modular forms under certain conditions. So we did this. In fact, I should point out that we use class C results of Piloni and Benastro, of which I will not say anything, but which are indispensable for constructing the eigenvariety. And so let me try to explain what I want to do. So we did this construction maybe 2 years ago, and since then we thought about it, we tried to understand what we were doing. And in fact, if one looks back at Coleman's construction, one sees that it is a little bit ad hoc. So one of the reasons it is so difficult to generalize is because the anyway, we try to make an effort to define things systematically. So we are trying to sort of build like a little theory to explain what's going on. And so I'm trying to present you this. So I want to apologize if you will find this boring, but I will somehow try to really define things maybe carefully and try to see something that will work in general. So I will concentrate on Hilbert modular forms, but I think what we are doing would work in general for with maybe adjustments for all sort of PL Shimura varieties. So let me start. Let's fix some notation. So I already fixed P, and P is a prime larger than 2. N is an integer larger or equal to 4. P does not divide N. And let us fix F, a totally real field, dimension G larger or equal to 1 over Q. And and I'm going to suppose that P is unramified in F. In fact, I think we do have some construction in the ramified case, but at least I am confused by something about it, so I would rather not talk about something about which I am rather confused. So we will fix K, finite extension of QP, which we are going to suppose large enough, and I will say what we need about it. I am going to fix a rational number W, say between larger or equal to 0 and smaller for the moment than 1 over P, and then I'll have to adjust it as I go along. So yes, and I would like to fix, let A be an OK algebra, which is p-adically complete, separated topologically of finite type, over OK, and formally smooth. And I would actually prefer that A be an integral domain, although this is probably not essential. And let us denote by AK the extension of scalars to K. And let's denote by S the formal scheme, formal spectrum of A with its natural map to the formal spectrum of OK. So once again, this formal scheme, I suppose it to be formally smooth. Okay, so now yes, so I still need to fix, did I say, yes, I fixed this this rational number here, and I would like to assume that there exists an element of K such that an element of K, which I will call P to the W, such that the valuation of this element equals W. So I'm going to define. So what I like to define. Okay. So the title of this the title was notation. So now I will go on, and I would like to define modular sheaves. So once again, you'll see that I have to do some. Well, anyway, let's define the following categories. So first category, I'll call it formal schemes over A. So the objects are formal schemes U over S, a p-adic formal scheme. Such that it has U has a finite affine covering, say UI, formal spectrum of ring RI, but this covering is finite, and I would like to assume that RI is p-adically complete, separated, topologically of finite type over A, and moreover a normal domain. The morphisms in these categories, in this category, will be just morphisms of formal schemes over S. So if U and U prime are such formal schemes, then a morphism is a morphisms of formal schemes over S. Okay, so there isn't anything funny about this. So now I'd like to define a second category, which I will call sheaves, and I put an index K here. So the objects are pairs UF, where U is an object in formal schemes over A, and F is a locally free OU tensor over OK with K module of finite rank. In fact, such that this module comes from a coherent OU module on U, such that there exists a coherent OU module F on U, such that F is isomorphic to the straight F tensor over OK with K. The morphisms in this category . So if I have two pairs UF and U prime F prime, then a morphism is a pair phi plus, where phi is a morphism from U to U prime in the category, this category of formal schemes over A. And the phi plus goes from F to the inverse image on the phi of F prime, and it is an isomorphism. So the morphisms are defined in this way. Now, of course, it is rather trivial to see that we have a functor. We have a functor from the this category of sheaves over K to the category of formal schemes over A, sending a pair UF to U and a pair of morphisms phi, phi plus to phi. Okay, so the main category that that I want to define is this category. Let's call it Hilbert. I'll put a mu n here, an A, and a W. So W did not intervene yet in the in my definitions. So let me say what objects are. So the objects are sort of quintuples, G over U, iota, lambda, xn, and y. So let me just point out that, in fact, these type of objects appeared even before in this conference. So let me just say what this is. U first is a formal scheme. U is a formal scheme over A, and then G over U is a formal abelian scheme, which is locally algebraizable. And then iota, let me just write it, is a multiplication by this real, by this ring of integers in the totally real field, is a morphism of rings with a property. So we need a extra property that having this abelian scheme over U and the zero section, we define the sheaf omega G over U to be the inverse image of the sheaf of one forms G over U, and this real multiplication is such that this sheaf is locally free of rank 1 as OF tensor OU modules. So then So this lambda has something to do with polarization. So, I mean, maybe I don't need to define it so precisely. Xn is a mu n level structure. And what is this y? So this is a section. Is a section over U of the sheaf, so we take highest wedge product of these invariant differentials of G over U, tensor power 1 minus P, and of course we have to reduce modulo P. So this is a sheaf modulo P on the formal scheme, and I would like that this this section multiplied the half invariant equals P to the W. So the half invariant is the section over U of this shift to the dual of this, modulo P. And so this at least makes sense. And let me just remind you that this is a growth condition that really Katz introduced. And so this is a growth condition. Let me just point out a remark that if, let's call it G underline, is an object of this type, C, N, and Y, is an object in this category, Hilbert, mu N, A, W, then the generic fiber of GK over UK has a canonical subgroup, which I will denote C sub G. So it is a subgroup scheme of GK P torsion points. And it is over UK. So then, in fact, I'm not sure who's right about this, but to my opinion, this canonical subgroup should be part of that data. There are already too many things written there, but I think the canonical subgroup is part of the data. As you'll see, the morphies should somehow take that into account. There is a secret gamma zero P structure, level structure, in this business. So let me define the morphies in this category, which are the really important part. So suppose I take, say, G underline, which is this sequence. This is the Y, and then G prime underline, which is G prime over U prime, iota prime, lambda prime, Cn prime, Y prime. So it's a pair, phi alpha, where phi is a morphism of formal schemes, morphism in category form of schemes over A, while alpha is a really an isogeny to G prime U, which is G prime product fiber product over U prime with U, using this map, and so this is an isogeny. Such that an isogeny, which is linear with respect to which is compatible with OF structure, with the mu n level structure, the inverse image under this isogeny of Y prime equals Y, and this alpha induces an isomorphism between the canonical subgroup of G and the canonical subgroup of G prime base change to U. So anyway, these are morphies, but you see that so we'll see what they are good for. I can give you immediately an example of such a I didn't define anything, so I can't give you an example. Close immersion from mu n tensor df minus 1 into. Yeah, which commutes with the OF. Right. We have the very obvious functor. A functor from this category, Hilbert mu n aw to formal schemes over A, which is just sending everything to U. And of course, a morphism phi alpha goes to phi. So the first definition is the following. So I'll call we call an overconvergent modulo sheaf for this situation. So the degree of overconvergent is W, and the tame level is N, and everything is over A. A Cartesian functor let's call it F from the category Hilbert mu n a w to the category of sheaves over K over the category of formal schemes. And Cartesian means it transforms Cartesian squares into Cartesian squares. But so the main point is that we actually want to define a sheaf for every object of this category that I define here. And moreover, we want these sheaves to be sensitive to isogenies between these. And we want to do that because we want to define Hecke operators. So let me now say something. So, okay, this is a definition. I can give you immediately an example, which is the most... sorry? I'm very sorry. Yes, excuse me. Sure. So, example, let k be an integer, and the functor that we that one defines is really this one. Let's call it like this. And it is defined on an object. It's kind of obvious what it is. It's really the sheaf omega G over U, highest wedge power to the power k, and it's not difficult to see that indeed this satisfies all the desired properties. But there is more to this, namely the category Hilbert NAW has in fact a final object. Let's call it G final. So it will be some G over a formal scheme, which I'm going to call M A mu N W, and then there are all these things. So let me try to to say what this is. So let us denote by MA nu n. So this will be the fine moduli schemes which classifies abelian schemes over A with OF multiplication and mu n level structure. So this has so this is defined over ZP, and we can actually it's defined over A in this case, and now we take the form of completion along the special fiber, and then we blow up at the ideal generated. I mean, it's pretty obvious what one has to do, and H is the local lift of the Haas invariant to characteristic zero, and the ideal, of course, is independent of which lift you take. So we blow up and take the complement, the open, which is the complement of infinity in the exceptional divisor. Then we have to normalize in its generic fiber and again p-adically complete. But in any case, and I denote this scheme, this form of scheme, M A mu n W, so it depends on W via that that blow up. And of course, there is a natural homomorphism from this to this form of completion. And so this is this has a universal abelian scheme over it, formal abelian scheme. I can pull it back. And so I obtain that element, that that G, and then one can actually prove that any object in the category has a unique morphism to this final object. So now, what do we do with this? Suppose that I have F is an overconvergent modular sheaf, in other words, a functor. Sheaf over K. Let me just consider an AK vector space module. I'll denote it M, A, N, W, and F. So what we do, we take global sections over that formal scheme of my functor, evaluate it at this final object. So one wants to call this weakly holomorphic overconvergent F-valued modular forms. And the reason I allow myself to make this definition is because here's an almost tautological theorem. So let Q be any prime of OF such that Q does not divide NP. Then there are Hecke operators TQ and UP acting on these modular forms. And these are defined geometrically, as one knows, for classical modular forms. And the fact that I have constructed that this functor sort of associates a sheaf for every sort of abelian scheme, formal abelian scheme with the real multiplication and so on, and that it transforms isogenies between abelian schemes into isomorphisms of sheaves allowed me to, it's a, really a tautology. So it seems that this is what you need, this kind of object is what you need in order to define Hecke operators. Sorry. Okay, but for the moment this is not really interesting. And hopefully I'll make it more interesting immediately. So let now, let K be, I'm sorry, doesn't matter. I will make it up. So I want a continuous homomorphism. So under all the notations that I had before, let K be a continuous homomorphism from OF tends to ZP, the units in this ring, into the units of AK. So a continuous homomorphism. And I should have defined this earlier. Namely, the weight space for GL2F is a rigid analytic space over QP, whose points on any QP algebra, but let me just define the CP points, are continuous homomorphisms from OF tensor over ZP star to CP star. And so one can see that this K is really AK weight. It's a periodic weight, right? It's an AK weight, AK valued weight. Sorry? Okay, so. So the main theorem is then, so given such a K, there exists an overconvergent. Modular sheaf omega to the k, so which is a functor from the category, this category that I have defined, Hilbert mu n a w with values in sheaves over k. For example, if by some chance K is just an integer in ZP, then this coincides with the one that I gave in that example. And I didn't quite finish. I want to say something more over there. So I forgot about saying something. And this is functorial in A and this W. So I could give you two examples. So we'll denote M A N W K the overconversion modular forms corresponding to this functor. Yes. Oh, yes, we need, yes. Oh, you're right. I'm very sorry. We do. Ah, you're perfectly right. So we need to choose, there is some constant which depends on K, and we need to choose W smaller than that constant. So for example, this constant, what is it? One computes L to be the smallest integer n, such that k, when you evaluate 1 plus p to the n OF tensor ZP, and we take the norm in this Banach algebra, this is smaller than p to the 1 minus 1 over p minus 1. And with such an r, the constant c of k is 2 over p to the r minus 1 if p is not equal to 3. And there is a constant for p equals 3 as well, is 1 over p 3 to the r. Yeah, thanks a lot. But let me just give two examples that are relevant. Namely, the first example, so suppose that A is really OK. So then K is a K-valued weight. And in that situation, in fact, the modular forms, so we have K here, we have N, we have W, and we have K. These are weakly holomorphic overconvergent modular forms. And for example, for G equals 1, they can be compared with the ones defined by Coleman, but we need to do something about the cusps. So here the cusps are not at all taken into account. The second example is, so let's suppose that U is admissible open aphenoid in the weight space, and I'll take AK to be the aphenoid algebra. So we can take U to be connected. In fact, we can take U to be an aphenoid polydisk. And then I claim that there is a universal, this is well known, in fact, there is a universal weight from OF tensor ZP star to A of U, defined in the following way. It sends an element T here T to the K universal. The image has to be an analytic function on U, so I better tell you what it is evaluated on a point of view. But U, any point of view is a weight, and therefore I define this to be T to the X. This is my notation for X of T. So it's a universal character. And obviously it goes into the units. And if you perform our construction, then in this situation, so the modular forms, let's denote by M, U, N, W, and K universal, the modular forms for this character. NW. So then these are p-adic families of modular forms indexed by the weight in U. And one actually can see that if X is any weight in U, so this corresponds to a homomorphism from AK to anyway, the residue field of X. And let's suppose it's K, so I didn't do other. And by the functoriality of that construction, we have a specialization from the p-adic families to the overconvergent modular forms of weight X. Okay, so now we have to if I am taking this to be a polydisk, yeah. I mean, it's enough to have a norm, and then I take the. Yeah, I mean, this is the reason I am avoiding the p-ramified situation, because I think in that situation somehow the weight space has bad reduction. But I don't understand well enough what's going on there in that situation. All the rest actually works fairly well. But anyway, these definitions and constructions are rather formal, but in fact we define at the same time overconvergent modular forms and p-adic families, sort of it's one definition. And now one has to do something about the cusps. So let us choose M bar A mu n a toroidal compactification. So suppose I am in the situation that I was before. So suppose in general K is goes from OF tensor ZP star to AK. A is that formal scheme formally smooth over OK. So suppose this is done, then I have my overconvergent modular sheaf omega k, and of course I have the evaluation of this overconvergent modular sheaf at the final object. So let's take a toroidal compactification of ma mu n. And let's denote M bar A mu n W, the normalization of my formal scheme in that compactification. So then the theorem is, first thing is that this sheaf extends uniquely to a coherent, locally free M bar tensor over OK K module over this compactification M bar M mu N W, and let's denote M bar A N W and K the global sections of this sheaf. So it will be H0 M bar A mu n W, and then omega. I didn't make any notation. I'll put a bar over omega k to denote this extension. So there is a unique extension like this, and this is just because the construction which gives the sheaves for abelian schemes works for semi-abelian scheme. There is some semi-abelian scheme over this, and one can perform that construction. One gets a unique extension of that sheaf. And then two, if T is any one of these Haeckel operators, TQ or UP is one of, then one can actually show that T applied to this submodule n bar A mu n w k is in fact contained in the same module, and therefore these give Haeckel operators on these holomorphic, in fact, over convergent modular forms of weight k. The third property is that, in fact, this module, I didn't even denote it like that. I didn't even put it in the notation, but what I want to say is that it is independent of the toroidal compactification we have started with. And then finally, I have 3 minutes. Okay, so finally, which allows us to really construct the eigen variety is the following. So let now take A to be of this type, the affinoid algebra of a nice open affinoid in the weight space, and K to be the universal thing, and let me denote by omega bar u to be the extension, the sheaf of weight k universal on m bar a of u mu n w. So I will explain in a second. I mean, there is a problem here. The problem is that we'd like to show that every overconvergent modular forms deforms. There is a small maybe neighborhood of its weight in the weight space and the family which deforms it. And there is some difficulty in doing this. So for g equals 1, it's easy to do because this, in fact, this rigid analytic space for G equals 1, this rigid analytic space is in fact an affinoid inside the proper modular curve seen as a rigid space as well. And so everything is easy to do. But for G larger or equal to 2, this is not true anymore. So what one, sorry, my notation is, I wanted to say this. So what one has to do is we have to take, to look at the map to the minimal compactification. So in other words, we take a minimal compactification of this of the scheme, of the universal modular scheme. We take the normalization of our former scheme inside, and then we have a map between them, which is proper. So if we denote by D the divisor of the boundary, in the toroidal compactification, then what we can prove is that the right derived functor of Rolle star of this omega k universal twisted by minus d zero. So this immediately implies, because in fact, I'm very sorry, I have to look at the rigid spaces, because these are sheaves tensor with k, and because this is an affinoid, it follows immediately that if x is any weight, then modular forms, periodic families of modular forms, mu n w k universal, the map, the specialization map going to m bar k mu n w x is surjective. Cuspidal. Yes, thank you so much. So the cusp, on the cuspidal part, the map is surjective, and therefore it follows that that one can construct the cuspidal part of the eigenform. One can show fairly easily that in fact this module is an AFU orthonormalizable Banach module, UP operators compact, and so one has a theory of finite slope decomposition and so on, and so one can, and once again, I mean, I think the same thing works for, okay, maybe I'll just stop. Thank you.